As we return to our study on commitment, let us look at one final item of commitment before I bring the series to a close. In our last lesson, which was three Wednesdays ago, we had Christmas and then we had Wash Night. We look at what it means to be committed to your local church. This local church in particular, to your local church. And one of the elements of responsible church membership, if you remember, is loyalty. One of the elements of responsible church membership is loyalty. Loyalty shown to your pastor, your under shepherd, whom the chief shepherd, Jesus Christ, has appointed within the church. That is very important. That is, it's very important for us to show loyalty to the pastor of the church. And if you remember, to be loyal to your pastor, I mentioned, is to submit to his leadership and authority, to sit under his teaching and preaching, to be trained by him, to support him positively, and also to assist and work with him. These are the things, these are the few things, not exhaustive, but these are the few things that you can do to show your loyalty to your pastor. Imagine if people in the church try to do otherwise. Not interested to listen to his teaching and preaching, try to follow their own will other than the pastor's will. Imagine what will happen. Once upon a time, I saw a cartoon of a bus. It's a church bus. It's a church bus with 20 steering wheels. And that's the kind of church you will get if you don't submit to the leadership and authority of the pastor. This evening, I would like to draw your attention to the topic of leadership and authority. Leadership and authority. Commitment to leadership and authority. As Christians, we live under two categories of leadership and authorities. One of them is secular and the other spiritual. Secular and spiritual. The secular class of leadership includes employers, national government, whereas the spiritual class includes pastors, lay church leaders, and even the family structure. Clearly, there is a need for proper leadership and submission to authority. When God established the three institutions of government, family, and church, He gave instructions in the Bible on how men ought to submit to authority and follow leaders. We won't be turning there, but passages like 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 13 to 15, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1 and 2, Ephesians chapter 6, verses 5 and 8, talk about submitting to the authority of your government leaders. Talk about submit children obeying parents. Talk about employees obeying your bosses. And those are God-given instruction for His children to obey, to submit to leadership and authority in the institution of government, family, and church. So those are all necessary. Otherwise, God wouldn't have taught us these things. So the same principle works, right? The same principle given in these passages of submitting to leadership and authority works in the relationship between the husband, who is the leader of the house, and his family, civil government and their citizens, church leaders and members. They all work the same. On the contrary, all right, if someone were to not follow these commands, these teachings to submit to leadership and authority, take for example a child doesn't learn to follow the leadership of his father, the leader of the house, and submit to his authority, he is going to have problem living under the authority of his employers, of his teacher in school, and later on of the civil government. Eventually, if he becomes a part of the church body, a member, he might find it difficult to be under the spiritual authority of his pastors and church leaders. So do you see, church, government, family, they're all intertwined. They're all intertwined, and the same principle holds for all three institutions. For the purpose of our study tonight, we will focus only on spiritual leadership and authority. Spiritual leadership and authority in the church. Let us pray, and then I'll carry on from there. Our dear Heavenly Father, once again we thank you for gathering us here this evening, and we ask that your Holy Spirit will lead and guide us from your word, and give me the words to speak to your people as we look into this topic on committing to leadership and authority in the church. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. To begin, let us look at how spiritual leadership and authority is different from the more familiar secular realm. Let us look at how spiritual authority and leadership is different from the secular realm. First of all, let us look at the distinction. Commitment to spiritual leadership and authority is critical to the well-being of every local church. Commitment to spiritual leadership and authority is critical to the well-being of every local church. Yet there are two features of spiritual leadership and authority that makes it distinctive from the secular realm that we need to understand. And I'll tell you in a moment why we need to understand. First of all, first difference, it is not about competency. It is not about capability. It is not about whether the church leader, the pastor, is capable of doing things in a satisfactory or effective way. It is not about that. It is not about competency. We all have encountered authorities, leaders, whom, in our own opinion, are just and unjust, who have leadership quality, who simply we feel do not know how to lead, whom we think have charisma, and others whom we think probably are born losers. Right? We have met those people in our own opinion. We have classified people who are competent, people who are incompetent in our secular world. Right? Be it in this country or be it in other country. I've just spend a few days in a country where the government is totally different, right? So, or be in at your place of work, and I know some of you are bosses, some of you are leaders. So, how your employee judge you, I don't know, right? But what I'm trying to say is that in our secular world, when we spend time outside, we all have our different evaluation of leaders, competency, things like that. And naturally, when we come into the church, we will bring the same standard of performance into the church. And then we will have the same tendency to evaluate the pastor, the church leader in the church. It is natural. It is natural. But what I'm going to tell you is that church leadership is not about competency. It is not the same as secular leadership and authority. The fact is that every leader will make mistakes. Every leader will make mistakes, and no one will lead perfectly. And the question is, what makes one acceptable and another not so? What makes one church leader, one pastor acceptable and another not so? Of course, we know in the Bible there are some qualifications for a pastor. But the point is, what makes one acceptable, qualified, is not his competency. It is not about competency, but God's calling. The fact is, most of us do not want to lead, especially in a church. Most of us do not want to lead, but we often want to critique how another leads. However, if you find in the Bible, even an incompetent but godly leader who have committed followers can accomplish much to the glory of God. Look at Gideon, who doubted God so many times, who was so afraid to stand up and stand against the enemy. Look at Jacob, look at Saul, look at Peter, look at doubting Thomas. Look at these people. They were not all that competent, yet God used them. God used them. So that's my point. It is not about competency. It is not about how capable, how qualified you are, what degree, what PhD, whatever D you have. No, it's not about that. It's about God's calling on that man and using that man in the church. That's the first difference. Second difference, spiritual leadership and authority ask for voluntary submission. Voluntary submission. In the secular realm where we work, where we are a citizen of, authority and leadership are made effective with the help of things like money, security, welfare, position, and even law. A lot of people look at Singapore and say, oh, everything is so nice, everything is so systematic, cars all go follow the white line. If you go to Vietnam, I don't know, they go in 5-6 direction. I was told by my colleague who married a Vietnamese lady, don't ever go on a motorbike taxi. And I wrote this past few days, I rode on the motorbike taxi for I don't know how many times. And it's you thought it's the end of your life. Right? It is really chaotic. Okay? But that's besides the story. What I'm saying here is that even in a country like Singapore, we experience all this. Why is Singapore so systematic? Why everything is so well done? Why do you go to work? And things like that. What's holding you to your job? What's making you reporting to work at a fixed time and then staying even beyond your working hour? All that. What? Maybe money. So that's what I'm saying. I'm not saying all of you are money crazy or whatever. What I'm saying here is that secular leadership and authority is made effective by different things that's holding you on. Money is one of them. Security. Like in some country, there's still pension. There's security. Welfare. Incentives. In your work. In your school. In this country, right, there are some incentives that we are given for healthcare and things like that, right? And law. Why doesn't you throw the tissue paper on the floor? Is it because you are so righteous? You know, you want to keep the country clean. Huh? Where I was in the past few days, everybody was throwing everything on the floor. Everything was on the floor. Right? So, that's what I'm saying. That's the secular realm. However, in the spiritual realm, submission is totally voluntary. If you do not already know, let me inform you. Submission is voluntary and often unpredictable. Pastor Moore does not know. I do not know. No one know whether you will be in church tonight. Nobody know. There's no contract that we sign with you, that you sign with the church. Nobody know. When organizing a church camp, nobody know who will sign up. Right? We just go ahead and book a place and and I signed a contract saying that there will be 40 church camper at least. And when it turned out to be only 30, I have to go and negotiate, and hopefully they will not change the price. See, these are the things that happen. Voluntary, totally unpredictable. And every church member probably knows it. If not, now you know. Right? You probably knows it. Right? That is voluntary. And that is why the word authority is not popular in many churches. Because authority gives the sense that it's too demanding, imposing, too directed, and hence inappropriate for the Christian circle. Because Christians have what? Liberty. That's the word that they like to claim on. Liberty, and often misused. Right? So authority is not a good word. Instead, many churches like to use words like fellowship, team, body, relationship, things like that. Such words that have found greater acceptance in a church. But the point is, and I believe I've mentioned before, a church is not a members club. It's not a members club. It's not a clan association. No, it's not those things. Therefore, godly leadership is a must in a church. Godly leadership is a must in a church. And just as coaches need teams and important jobs need workers, church leaders need committed members, church members. Therefore, the willing and responsible submission of church members to the leadership and authority of the church is vital. Yes, it is voluntary. Yes, it is often unpredictable. But if you were to commit yourself to the leadership and authority of the pastor, everything can change. Everything can change. Your commitment is important. Your commitment can make the church program, the ministry, whatever, much more full of impact, much more fruitful, and things like that. So your commitment is very important. So even though church leadership is not about competency, church leadership is asking for voluntary submission, but your commitment can change the whole ball game. That's why your commitment is very important. So now that I've explained the distinction, the distinctive, let us go on to where the rubber meets the road. How to commit to spiritual leadership and authority within the church. How? How to make a commitment? I mentioned earlier that commitment is not to leadership and authority, it's not just an element in the church. It is an important element in the family, in the workplace, and of course in the church. So with regards to the local church, we are commanded in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 7. If you would turn your Bible with me to Hebrews chapter 13, verse 7, which reads, and Pastor Moore will get there sometime, some Sundays. Hebrews 13, verse 7. We have been commanded to remember. To remember, the first word, to remember, that means to be mindful of. Not to recall. Right? Not to recall, remember. But to be mindful of them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God. And no doubt, Paul here is referring to the pastor of the church who preaches the word of God and holds a position of authority in the church. So, remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow. That means we have been commanded to follow the pastor, to imitate his faith. Moreover, Paul tells us in verse 17, to obey them that have the rule over you, and the word that nobody likes, submit yourselves. For they watch for your souls as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. And that is what we want to look at for the rest of this evening. But of course, first of all, we are not talking about blind submission. We're not talking about being a yes man. You know what's a yes man, right?
Yes.
Yes. The Bible has no place for that, for being a yes man. And certainly, I know, you know, there are pastors and church leaders who purposely misuse their position and influence, and we are to watch out for them. And I'm quite surprised, even in Ho Chi Minh, people ask me about CHC over here.
CHC.
But I would say, if the spiritual leader, the pastor, is doing his job, then we should do our job to submit to his leadership and authority. Of course, as we talk about responsible church membership, loyalty to the pastor, there are other responsibilities that we can consider. And I do have notes for other points, but we don't have the time for that. You know, we can pray for him, we can pray for the pastor, we ought to support the pastor, we ought to protect the pastor. But my main focus for the rest of this evening is to submit to the leadership and authority of the pastor. Back to this verse, Hebrews 13 verse 17. Hebrews chapter 13 verse 17, Paul is referring, no doubt, to the office of a pastor, no doubt within the context of a local church, and Paul gives to Christians what we call a double imperative, double command. Every Christian ought to, number one, obey his or her pastor. Number two, submit to his authority. To obey means to follow, and not just to follow, but to follow willingly, or to go along with to another's direction. Like I follow a tour guide on Monday when I tour Mekong River. Okay? If I don't, I might be caught by some Gekong. So I better follow. Right? So I follow willingly. That is obey. To submit has the sense of yielding to another's authority with a voluntary subordination. When we were at the airport this morning, those people in green uniform, they were not friendly. They were not friendly at all. Whether I like it or not, I better yield to even that lady in green uniform who told one man, "Go back!" loudly. So I better follow. So that is what it means to obey and to submit. Can I say that both to obey the pastor's leadership and to submit to his authority go against the nature of our flesh? Can I say that? To obey and to submit is not a natural thing to do. Yet, it is the thing to do, because that's what God has commanded us to do. To yield ourselves, to submit to authority, we actually evidence spiritual maturity. Do you know that? Many Christians think otherwise. They think that to submit, to follow, shows weakness. Weakness. It shows that you are weak. It shows that you have no mind of your own. It shows that you are a follower. No. When you demonstrate obedience and submission to your spiritual leadership, leader and authority, you actually demonstrate spiritual maturity, because you are obeying God. You are not actually obeying, submitting to that man per se. You are obeying God to obey him. That's what you're doing. That actually shows spiritual maturity. Spiritual immaturity is evidence, on the other hand, in just the opposite, by a rebellious and willful spirit. Like I said, many people think that that kind of spirit shows maturity, charisma and things like that. No, I'm sorry, it's not the case. And there are a number of reasons given for the people of God to obey and submit to His pastoral leadership and authority. Back to that verse 17, let me give you three. Number one, pastors watch for your souls. Pastors watch for your souls. The word translated as watch has the sense of a shepherd staying awake at night watching the flock on guard duty. That's what many young men would know, on guard duty, right? Watching over his flock. And this watching is diligent watching, not like me, not like when I do guard duty, not like when my rifle was stolen even. No, not that kind of watch. That's lousy, right? But watch here means that a pastor, the under-shepherd, is like the shepherd watching the flock. And not actually watching the flock. Are you sleeping? How are you? You're still not sleeping? No, not watching the flock. It's to keep a concern lookout for the spiritual health and well-being of the flock. To take note of anyone who might be spiritually having falling sick, who might have some problem, who might be drifting away and things like that. Who's always on guard, always on alert. He watches out for infiltration. A wolf who just bought a sheep coat and sneak in. You know, that kind. He watched for presence of doctrinal error and moral compromise within the church body. He watches out for those things. And even though not all of his flock would understand the dangers involved, he does his job. He sees the potential problems and he does his job to watch for your souls. That's the first reason. The second reason that we should obey and submit to the pastor is because pastors must give account. Pastors must give account. For the prerogative of leadership that a pastor is given, he also has the burden of responsibility to someday give a report to God for all those under his care. He need to give a report. He need to submit a report at the end of the day. Those under his care, leadership and oversight. Sheep need a shepherd, and shepherds are called to be diligent to know the state of his flocks and look well to his herds. Proverbs chapter 27 verse 23. That is the shepherd's job. So, when the flock are unwilling to obey and refuse to submit to the pastor, it becomes more difficult for him to fulfill his responsibilities faithfully. Imagine amongst the flock, one of the sheep, raising up his whatever limb and say, no, I'm not going to follow that, you know. And how is he, being the shepherd, going to say good thing about that sheep? How is he going to report? And that's why, and because, the third reason, I believe pastors hope to give account with joy and not with grief. If this reason is not around, then maybe, okay, I would think that pastors would be happy to say, that guy always say no to me, you know, I'm more than willing to report him. But no, pastors, the hope of every faithful pastor is not just to receive the Lord's reward for himself, but his desire is that his flock, his people, will receive trophies as well, rewards as well, and that is going to bring him joy. That is going to bring him joy. Rebellion and disobedience, on the contrary, would cause much heartache to the pastor and headache to those charged with spiritual care of God's sheep. Eventually, as Paul says at the end of verse 17, this is going to be unprofitable. Unprofitable for the individual or people in question, for they themselves will have to one day give an account before the Bema seat. So for these three reasons, that the pastor is have to give an account, to give with joy, his members ought to submit to his leadership and authority. Many Christians do not realize that their pastor will watch for their souls and must give account. But when they obey the pastor's leadership and submit to his authority, as I mentioned earlier, it will rather be a sign of spirituality than immaturity. And since we have been commanded by God to do that, we ought to do it, even if it is against our nature. Therefore, responsible church membership demands that we be amongst that man who are in the front line, the pastor. That we be among those who are leading into spiritual battle. As I mentioned right in the beginning of this series, can you imagine how sad a situation it would be when the leader blows the trumpet in a battle and wonders, who's going to follow me? Would I be the only one charging, or would I have all my company, all my flock following me? That is the question that many pastors ask. And hopefully, they can rely on the church. Remember, this is a church. Even though submission is voluntary, even though submission is often unpredictable, but as a church, as a body of believer, we are different parts of the body. No one is dispensable. We are all needed, and different parts of the body can come together to contribute their spiritual gifts and function under authority. That is what is important. In conclusion, let me say that the danger for most Christians is not committing to the wrong task or leader. Yes, there are many churches, there are many Christians who give of their time, their money and effort to the wrong leader and ended up in big trouble. But the danger of most Christians is not that. It's not committing to the wrong task or wrong leader, but making no commitment at all. No commitment at all to stay free and easy. You stay free and easy. It's like going for a tour again. Do you prefer a guided tour where your whole day is under that tour guide, or you prefer a guided a free and easy tour where you can branch off here and there and do what you like? So, not making any commitment at all, that is the danger for many Christians. Commitment to spiritual leadership and authority, rather, is one of those things in life that is better learned by living it. So, let us be people who pray, who plan, and who act together with the leadership of this church. Only by doing it do you actually learn how to submit to spiritual leadership and authority. I hope this will be a challenge to you, an encouragement to you, not just head knowledge, but like I said, this is something that we need to really do it in order to learn it. Let us pray.